This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. It's WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Good morning, T-Tote.
Good morning.
It's not snowing right now.
That was a surprise.
Yesterday afternoon, I'm reading the weather forecast. Partly sunny later this afternoon. High of about 45 to 48 degrees. And, of course, shortly around a little after 11 o'clock yesterday morning, snow pops up on radar, and all of a sudden the forecast changes.
Yeah, that was a little depressing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm going,
I woke up with snow on my car, and I was like, what is this? It's almost April.
I can't speak for snowbirds, but I would imagine even a snowbird on the 28th of March in Illinois is like, all right, enough.
Nah,
yeah.
We've had snows in March and April. That's not really unusual.
No, oh, it happens.
It happens.
But yeah. I don't need it.
Hey, snow in March and April, better than May or June.
Yeah.
Yeah, we start getting
May
snow
or June
in July.
May or June, we're screwed.
That June snow's never good.
Oh, no. Yeah, so.
That would really put a damper in the spring sports schedule if it snowed throughout. Could you imagine? Hard to believe that, you know, high school baseball and softball basically in full swing now. And you think about the weather we had this last week. Not conducive at all. Aluminum bats, inside fastballs.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, just, you know, and parents sitting there with nine layers of blankets on and gloves and players that are not in the game with gloves and
lots of hot chocolate being sold.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if you want to drink much.
Yeah, those aluminum bats don't break, so.
Yes, they do. Well, I've seen three aluminum bats break over
the years. Really?
Yes, I have. Two of them in state tournament play, yes.
But if you get jammed, I mean, that's not forgiving.
The question is, how long have those aluminum bats been in use by the time they were broken?
Well, they started using them back in the mid-70s when I was in high school. I remember seeing a few way back when.
So they got some run out of it then.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, a couple of them snapped off in state tournament play, and one of them stuck the broken big barrel side of it, point stuck into the ground right in front of the third baseman.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Think about a few years ago, that guy for the Cubs, I think Tyler Colvin, he got speared with a broken wooden bat in a major league game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Scary. Thought of getting pierced with an aluminum bat is purely terrifying.
Now, obviously, the aluminum bats don't break nearly as often as
I've never seen that. I didn't know.
I've seen three of them snap.
Boy.
Must have been a heck of a fastball on the inside part of the plate.
No kidding. Good pitch. Sawed him off. Got in his kitchen.
If you can saw off an aluminum bat, you can saw off anybody. So.
No doubt about that. We'll have the Cardinals on the air today. They are playing the Tigers 11:45 and then playing the Mets tomorrow, also 11:45 on AM 1540. Opening day a week from tomorrow, or tomorrow night, I should say.
Tomorrow night
game a week from tomorrow.
In
April 5.
In Chicago.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Which computer picked this one out? That's what I want to know.
Well,
what sort of parameters do you program into a computer to set up a schedule like that?
I want MLB computers. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
And you know, it's the showcase game. It's the kickoff game.
Sure,
the last few years they've
had
those in like Australia or Japan. To me, that's a great way to kick off the year. Except it might be snowing.
Yeah,
could be.
It might not be played.
It might not be. We'll see. But that's a week from tomorrow, hard to believe. Yeah. High school baseball, they're in full swing. There were games played yesterday, believe it or not. Auburn defeated Morrisonville 8-6. Riverton got past Lutheran 9-1. Marquette over Lebanon 3-2. Plains over Rochester 8-4. Tri-City got past Southeast 5-2. Calhoun defeated Berry Western 6-2. Highland all over Roxana 11-2. And Althoff got past Metro East Lutheran 11-7. And just last week, Althoff was playing for the 3A basketball state championship. And a week later, they're on the ball diamond.
I guess they're pretty well adjusted.
Quickly.
You'd hope so. Yeah. I mean, it's great for a program to be able to do that, go deep into a basketball tournament, and then you know, the next week, no break, just start baseball.
They had a good recruiting year.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Althoff.
Oh,
man. So yeah,
but they were just playing, you know, just playing for the state title.
Sure. Well, they may not have any guys who are on the basketball team but played on the baseball team then, because they're recruiting separate sports.
So. Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. Those were the baseball finals that we had reported to us from yesterday. Softball yesterday saw Litchfield hammer Pawnee 12-2. Ramsey doubled up Morrisonville 6-3. Calhoun all over Berry Western 12-1. Bree Central blanked Roxana 3-0. Triad shut out East Alton Wood River 11-0. Lincoln got past Williamsville 10-4. Highland blanked Granite City 10-0. CM blanked Altoff 11-0. And Columbia over Jabot 10-0. And Terry, it's been how many years now since they moved the pitching rubber in for high school softball? It's been at least...
They moved it back 3 feet.
That's right, moved it back. But since that time, it really seems that the offensive numbers have really spiked.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, that they needed that.
There was a lot of 1-0 games there for a long period
of
time.
Of course, I didn't mind 1-0 games. I enjoy 1-0 games, but it's those 0-0 games that go into the 17th inning that kind of drag out sometimes, especially at the higher level. You know, you get these pitchers that just know what they're doing.
You get into the super sectional round, they start carving you up.
It's nasty.
And at what inning was it now? Maybe that's still the rule where you just start a runner at second.
Well,
like once you get to the so many extra innings.
I don't think that's part of the IHSA.
Oh, it's not?
No, I think you can adopt that. It's called an Olympic tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can adopt that for, like, in-season tournaments.
I thought they had that for the postseason.
Well, I think they may have tried it a year or two, but, yeah, and I've seen it done.
World Baseball Classic does it that way.
Yeah, so it's an interesting concept. I mean, it at least gets you, at least gives you a chance. You know, you've got somebody in scoring position at second base.
Right, but I don't know that it really changes anything, though, because the other team then gets to start with the person in scoring position.
Sure, yeah. It's kind of like overtime in football. Everybody gets a shot.
Well, unless you score a touchdown the first time.
Well, in high school, you don't. I mean, everybody gets their chance. You know.
This is true.
You put it at the, what, the 10 or the 20, whatever. I don't even remember what the
thing goes to the 10 in high school.
The 10. Yeah, yeah, 10 in high school.
You don't see many overtime high school football games.
No, you don't.
Here. You just don't.
You just don't. And you know, the NFL's talking about changing their overtime rule to be something similar to that.
They change everything. So.
Yeah.
Whenever they want.
Well,
they don't like to keep things the same every year.
Yeah. There's no reason to do that.
Have you heard? And maybe you guys haven't, but they've been experimenting at the college and some of the college conferences with a flat seam baseball, and home runs are up like 60%.
No seams in the baseball.
Well, there's nothing to bite the wind, you know. They're just.
So it's just straight.
I'm going.
Pitch.
Why? What would make people think? Yeah. Who came up? Well, let's try, you know, the flat seam baseball this year. Why?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm sorry.
I
don't see that catching on at all.
But I guess if you can whip off a curveball with a no-seam baseball, you got something.
How's the curve? I don't know how you'd get it to curve with flat seams. I'd be there a minimal amount of curve.
Science would say it should be tough.
Where's Mythbusters when we need them?
It becomes the Ephus because you throw it so slow.
There you go. Had Bob Tewksbury. They were showing something about him the other day, talking about the time he threw the Ephus pitches to McGuire, and he thought that McGuire was going to go over and just club him.
McGuire probably wanted
to. He's running away from him.
Here it comes, big boy. Hit it if you can.
That's exactly right. And he did more times than not.
Oh.
Wouldn't want him chasing me.
His home runs went a long way.
That's right. I mean, you didn't exactly have to be a track star to get away from McGuire, not exactly a speed merchant. But he's like one of those wrestlers. You know, if he gets his bear paws on you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Big problems.
Well, those guys are the reason the ballparks that are built today are so big. Because they were built to keep those balls in the, at least in the park.
That is true. Working out.
Yeah.
It's the pitching world right now.
Yeah. Well, now they're having to move walls in on several stadiums. I mean, Citi Field, they've moved the walls in. Petco Park and San Diego.
Have they moved those in twice at Citi
Field?
Yeah,
twice at Citi Field. Yeah. Petco, they moved those in.
Did they finally move it in San Diego?
Yeah, because that was one of the first ones. It was just huge, and they've moved it in.
It was like, 640 feet to center.
And Albert in 2006.
It was in the next county. Center field was in the next county.
Details.
Can you hit it that far? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because in 06, that was the year the Cardinals won the World Series and the Division Series, Game 1. Albert popped up behind home plate, and Mike Piazza couldn't catch it, dropped it. Next pitch, Albert puts it in center field, deepest part of the park.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't give the great ones the extra outs no matter what.
They do make you pay.
They do. We got to pay some bills, so we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to get to the track results from yesterday. We will do that following these messages. We always appreciate our coaches and officials throughout the year. They always keep us honest.
Yes. Hall of Famer, Louis Lang.
Just got off the phone with them.
Yep.
The international tiebreaker is the official name of the rule that we're talking about. It takes effect after 7 full innings are complete. So top of the 8th inning, it'll start with a runner on second base. And that runner on second will be the girl who had made the last out the previous inning. The IHSA does not use it. But coaches can, in a non-conference game, agree to put that in place beforehand.
And I think you see a lot of this in tournaments on weekends, on Saturdays, when you want to move things along.
A lot like you get the running clock in basketball tournaments. You don't get it in the regular season, but to keep things on schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing gets behind schedule like a track meet, because there's so much going on. If you've ever been in a track meet, it's amazing they ever get anything done.
I broadcast two track meets.
Oh, goodness.
At a station before I came here. And this was before wireless mic days and everything, so a lot of running back and forth. But it was interesting. It was a lot of fun to do.
We've talked about it before. We would like to be able to pull off covering like the Macoupin County track meet.
Yeah. I think it would be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be an interesting concept.
Just so much going on at all times. Never a dull moment at a track
meet. Well, the technology now allows us to do some things that would be a little more difficult in years past.
That's right.
And speaking of track, yesterday the Illinois Prep Top Times Indoor Meet was started, and they're going to finish it up today. But we do have some finals, and a lot of the best from around the area competed and did rather well. In the girls' division, in the 200-meter dash, Charlene Helton from Carlinville finished 11th. She also finished 12th in the 400-meter dash. J.C. Roper finished 11th in the 800-meter run and 15th in the 1600-meter run. Colleen Madden from Carlinville finished 12th in the 1600 and 5th in the 3200-meter run. April Getz from Auburn finished 14th in that 3200-meter run. Amanda Schmidt from Gillespie finished 7th in the hurdles. Pole vault, Katie Denby from Carlinville tied for 4th. And Katie Gonnerman from Auburn finished 4th in the shot. And Megan Staten from Carlinville finished 11th. So congratulations there. And a guy named Marcus Sitko, who we know a little bit about.
Yep.
Well, he finished 1st in the long jump, he finished 2nd in the triple jump, and 3rd in the 60-meter dash.
How about that? That's not a bad day
at the office.
Welcome to
the Marcus Sitko Show.
Yes.
That's all right. Hey. Jason Landon from Carlinville finished 12th in the 800-meter run. Nolan Kripe from Carlinville, 10th in the 1600. And also in the long jump, Brady Eaglehoff from Carlinville finished 5th, and the Carlinville 4x800-meter relay team finished 3rd. So.
Nothing more purely athletic than track and field. And, when we are covering football in the fall or basketball in the winter, a lot of times during broadcast we'll talk about the athletes on the field or the athletes on the floor, and a lot of those athletes, this is what they do in the springtime.
Yeah, these, just the pure all-out running, and
purest
sheer
form of it.
Yeah, and you're, and yes, you're on a team, but yes, it's an individual thing, and yeah, it's intense at times. So,
of course, that's the key, obviously, to winning the team meets is to have kids in all the events.
Well, we've got a place in the top. You may not need to win them all, but you need to place a lot of kids high.
Right. At least have kids participating in the events and then doing well in them. Yeah. But
so, and Macoupin County schools just in our area, they seem to dominate. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't help but think of Carlinville when you talk about track and field
and
in Macoupin County.
As well, Carlinville especially. Yeah. So they've had huge amounts of success. So. At least it was indoors.
That's exactly
oh,
right.
Oh, man.
David, you were tracking down some potential leads. No, leads.
Leads.
You've got them. You went on the Google.
Okay, Columbo. Yes.
You went on,
went on the IHSA website.
Went on the IHSA website.
Just one other thing,
that mysterious website.
One other thing here before I leave, sir.
Well, I couldn't find all of my assignments. I just found my 2A baseball assignments for the regionals. But I went on the IHSO website and took screenshots of the rest of them for 1A baseball and 2A and 1A softball.
It'll be here before we know it.
It will.
Well, so what are we looking at?
In 6 weeks, they'll do the seedings.
Yeah.
And
of course, we'll have the disparity in records. One team will be, 25-4. The other team will be, 4-4.
Well, you always find out who's got the really good ground crews and drainage.
Yeah.
Who's got the best group of freshmen?
Who have dads who are farmers.
Oh, yeah, that's
it. Stay out of the field.
That also helps.
Days, yes. Again, I make my case for the WISME Dome. Right across from WSMI, right here in the field. The Dome Stadium, where we can play sports year-round.
You're never going to get you never get public funding for that this day and age. It's too political.
I'm telling you,
you're never going to get the public funding.
We could do every single sport. We could put a track in there. We could put a soccer field in there, baseball, football, whatever. The WISME Dome, right across from the mothership here, the Tally Broadcasting Station's mothership. So
that'd be a cool thing.
I'm telling you,
but if you get it, then you got to get a blimp.
No, we could hold off on the plant.
Oh, okay. All right.
We could hold off on the plant.
You sure?
I'm sure.
But someday. Someday.
Yes. Shoot
for
high.
Starters, yeah. We already know starters. The guy. We already know the guy. We already have a guy on staff who can do the pyrotechnics for us.
That's right. So that's taken care of. No issue there.
That's taken care of, and they would be great.
No doubt about that. Be first class, top notch. So, David, as we start to look at the postseason baseball
where
assignment.
Where did that hole in the ceiling come from? Oh, well, we got a little carried away there.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. That was just a little lady.
That's right.
Just a little lady.
A little M-A-D, that's all. Okay.
All right, we're going to get back on track now. Postseason baseball, believe it or not, we'll be here shortly because baseball season goes so fast for a variety of reasons. But believe it or not, it will happen.
That's
soon.
Right. That's right. We'll start with two-way baseball because that's the hard copy I have right in front of me. In the Sauget GCS Park Super Sectional, where the Gateway Grizzlies play, we've got the Vandalia Sectional. They'll be hosting a sectional this year. Feeding into that is the Gillespie Regional, where six teams, and we cover all of them, Carlinville, Gillespie, Hillsboro, Litchfield, Southwestern, and Staunton. So Carlinville, Gillespie, Hillsboro. Litchfield, Southwestern, Staunton, all at the Gillespie Regional. Third time in a row Gillespie's gotten a baseball regional.
Oh, Jeremy Smith's doing a great job with that facility, and no reason they shouldn't have something postseason every year.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great place for a ball game.
I think they're hosting it.
Of course, there's a lot of great places for ball games, but, you know, Gillespie kind of has that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they're hosting track, too, for regionals, and I think it's regionals. So Gillespie doing it all this year.
There you go.
Got a great track over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also feeding into that sectional, the DuPont Regional, which has Altoff Catholic, Breeze Central, and Breeze Modern Day, Carlisle, DuPont, and Trenton Westland. Also, Greenville Regional, Metro East Lutheran Regional, Greenville, Roxana, Vandalia, and East Alton Wood River at the Greenville Regional. And finally, the Lawrenceville Regional, Flora, Lawrenceville, Newton, Robinson, and T-Town.
Of course, Greenville always a team to watch.
Yeah.
Touching that program.
Well, we saw that, Terry and I saw that Greenville and Gillespie were going to be hosting a regional and both feeding in Vandalia sectional. We thought maybe we'd have two sites to go to. But it turns out we're probably just going to have one.
I don't know. See how many we can wiggle in.
Yeah.
That's not up to us.
That's right. And we move over.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
And we move over to 1A regional baseball, feeding into the Lincolnland Super Sectional at Springfield. We've got the Blackburn Sectional, of course, Carlinville. Blackburn hosting yet another sectional tournament. The Carrollton Regional, which features Brussels, Carrollton, Greenfield, Calhoun, and North Green. And the Lincolnwood Regional, five teams, Bunker Hill, Morrisonville, Mount Olive, Nokomis, and Lincolnwood. Those, of course, all the teams we're going to
be. Oh, the date set for that Blackburn sectional, they got the dates on there?
No.
Okay, because it will rain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mark it down that day. Whatever day that Saturday is, it will rain.
Yeah.
I got no dates here, so.
Has every year, has it? Sure it, seems like it.
It sure seems like it. It does.
I don't know if it did last year. I thought it was a pretty. Or was it moved? Did it get moved last year?
No. They played it yet. It might have been one of those situations where it rained early and Mike Neal went out there and Curly got the tractor out and the screens out and kids came out and squeegeed off water and we played.
Well, they do a great job of getting that field ready for play, but it doesn't seem like the grounds crew of Blackburn ever just gets to sit back and watch the ball game. They always wind up having to really prepare the
field.
And
they have the wall put up now, the outfield wall, which is really kind of a neat thing. So,
of course, they've had some good ball games in that sectional over the years. Some state champions coming out of there.
A lot of state champions have come through that sectional tournament at Blackburn. And, you know, it's been loaded. It's loaded.
Yeah.
If you go into there, you better be prepared to play ball.
That's right. Seen a crazy finish or two there as well.
Yes, we have.
Just don't ask Mr. Fisco about it.
Oh, still scratching our head about that one. So.
What else you got, David?
I have got a 1A baseball, so it's the Springfield UIS Super Sectional at the Effingham St. Anthony Sectional. Lincolnwood Softball Regional. Did I say baseball? I meant softball.
Softball.
This is the softball.
Softball, okay.
Yeah, this is softball. Lincolnwood Softball Regional and Lincolnwood Baseball Regional. But this is the softball. This features Morrisonville, Central A&M, Nokomis, Ramsey, and Lincolnwood.
Central A&M. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Pretty good year for them.
I heard they're good.
Yeah, they're good. And that feeds into what sectional? Effingham St. Anthony?
Effingham St. Anthony. Mm. So Lincolnwood to Effingham St. Anthony.
Mm. Okay.
Better than Calhoun.
Yeah, that's right. Is the Central A&M softball team as good as the basketball team was?
Well, it's probably made up of the same girls.
So. Probably.
They can't be as good. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, you never know. They could. I mean, maybe they are.
They could be really good, but I don't know if they could be as good as the basketball team.
Yeah, probably right. Probably right.
Because they were
good.
They were sensational.
They were fun to watch.
I mean, there's no doubt that they were the best team. You know, I mean, they left little doubt about that from the start of the year all the way through the state title game.
Pretty good.
Hey, Dave, you got to see him once.
I got to see him.
I got to see him.
They're fantastic.
And they were.
It's just their defense.
They're just all over the place. I mean, there's nothing easy about playing against them. So.
And I got to see him play Nokomis, and Nokomis gave him all they had.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were with him for the first half of the game, but the third quarter was just not a great third quarter for Nokomis. And, I mean, just not a. Central A&M
constant
just never let up.
Just kept coming.
Game.
Yeah.
So.
It's like they have fresh batteries every quarter.
Yeah.
Don't wear out.
And a couple of their starters, and known as their better players, got into foul trouble and had to sit. It didn't matter.
Dooley Girl got in foul
Dooley
trouble. Yeah,
and I think Taylor Jordan was the other one. They both were in foul trouble, had to sit. Didn't matter. They just never let up.
Great teams find a way. Yeah, you know, you see that in March in the Big Dance.
Oh,
you know, the great teams, they just find a way to overcome the adversity that
– You know, some kid who's a sophomore who didn't get a whole lot of playing time until maybe the conference tournament, and all of a sudden scored 15 points the game, has his confidence level up, and now he steps in and does his thing.
Every coach, no matter the level, no matter the sport, talks about you got to be ready.
Yeah.
Next man up. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Also in 1A softball, the DuQuoin High School Super Sectional – feeding into the Odin sectional at the Metro East Lutheran Regional, we've got Bunker Hill, Metro East Lutheran, Lebanon, Mount Olive, and Mulberry Grove. So there's Mount Olive
girls. Nice little regional there.
Yeah. Mount Olive girls who.
Very good.
Yeah. I think they were very short on players, at least last year they were, but still really good.
They might have had nine.
Yeah, nine or ten. I think they may have had one reserve. But yeah,
I mean that's unfortunately for Mount Olive, they're kind of used to fighting the numbers game over there.
Yeah.
I thought I heard that they had more players this year, that more gals went out. I don't know if that's true.
I hope so.
Yeah,
be nice to have a substitute or two. It could come in handy for strategy.
And speaking of numbers, this digresses from baseball and softball, but Metro East Lutheran announced yesterday that they're going to co-op with Madison for football and cross country in the fall. Of course, Metro East Lutheran had a lot of trouble having enough kids to play games this past fall.
They forfeited several games.
So they hope this will alleviate that situation.
That is interesting. Is that a common thing for a public school and a private school to co-op?
Probably not common, but it is certainly allowable.
Well, yeah, certainly.
You know, it's a numbers game with football. It just they want to continue to compete, but they just needed some help with numbers and. There's a fix right there.
So the multiplier will still be in effect for them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Will it be Madison football or will it be Metro East Lutheran football? Okay.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So there'll be a 2A football school then for sure. Because they were 1A. I believe they're probably 1A the last couple of years.
I would think so. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, the Madison enrollment isn't exactly growing.
No, but just based on the multiplier, they would. Probably have to be a 2A.
I would think so.
I don't know. And that's what we'll find out come August, where they put them, and what sort of enrollment they decide.
Yeah, but that's interesting though. Public and private co-op.
But you know, it does give kids a chance to participate,
and that's what it's all about.
Yes, that's what it's about. So I'm sorry. I'll go back to baseball.
That's
softball.
All right. 2A softball, the Athens Super Sectional, and the Williamsville Sectional. Last couple of years has been Litchfield hosting the softball sectional. This time. You got to go up to Williamsville, who has won the sectional the last couple of years. And we'll start with the Auburn Regional. Athens, Auburn, New Berlin, Porta, Pleasant Plains, and Springfield Calvary all at the Auburn Regional. At Warrensburg-Latham, we've got Tri-City, Meridian, Riverton, Warrensburg-Latham, and Williamsville. At Carlinville, we've got Carlinville, Gillespie, Hillsboro, Litchfield, North Mac, so a pretty good softball regional there. And then finally, at the Roxana Regional, DuPo, Southwestern, Roxana, Staunton, and East Alton Wood River.
And if Williamsville wins much more, they're going to have to find a new place to start hanging banners. They're running out of room in their rafters. They got basically a banner
hanging over
the entire ceiling. There's no space left.
Maybe they need to go into the hallways.
They might have to. Yeah. They have to do something.
That's a great problem to have, isn't it?
A very good problem to have. We need a banner expansion hall.
That's right. Think the voters would go for that?
Hey, why not?
Hey.
Keep winning and keep bringing the banners. We'll find a place to put them.
We'll find a place to put them. That's right.
Had to find a place to put that football trophy this year, too. Finally got to state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lost in a last-second field goal, but got to state.
Hey. Yeah. It happens.
Think about how terrible that is, though, in high school football. Think about how rare it is for a game to come down to a field goal in the last seconds and then to lose a state championship game that way. Brutal. But at least they got there.
They finally got over the hump, though.
They got over the hump.
How many teams would gladly have traded places with them?
Everyone except the team that beat them.
There you go. Well,
that's exactly right.
Who was it? Was it Carrollton that got blown out in the 1A title game this year?
I don't think they got blown out. They didn't win.
Maybe it wasn't Carroll. It was
Carrollton played in the 1A
title game. It was Murrow Forsyth that got blown out because they, they just had a bad game and were on the wrong end of it. So they probably would have rather been in the
Oh, it seems like, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems a lot of the football title games get one-sided.
Yeah.
You know, because football kind of lends itself to that anyway. You know, you get in a big environment. You know, you turn it over early. All of a sudden, you're down 2 touchdowns a few minutes into the game, and it just gets out of control. You can't stop it.
Couple more softball regionals just of note with area teams. Pena at the Sullivan Regional. They'll be with Shelbyville, Sullivan, Tuscola, and Villa Grove. And Greenville hosting a regional for softball. They'll have Bree Central, Carlisle, Greenville, Westland, and Vandalia.
There you go.
That'll wrap up 1A, 2A baseball, softball, regional assignments.
That's basically, 5 weeks away, essentially? I mean, we get into May in... maybe a little longer than that.
I think I read that the seedings are like May 5th.
Okay. Because, if you win a regional in baseball or softball, you're playing the sectional post-school in a normal year.
Most of the time,
in a normal year. Maybe not this year with the snow days, but.
We'll see.
Didn't have as many this year as we had last year, did we?
No, but that's not.
I don't think so.
That's not saying much, though.
Didn't they actually, a lot of the schools actually tried to get more snow days this year because of what we went through last year? And I think I heard some of the schools, tried to use them whenever they could this year because they got so many.
Well, they definitely had a period where
they
could use them.
Yeah.
That was always my dream, though, what happened last year when I was in school.
Yeah, it never happened.
Coming off winter break, you get 3 feet of snow and you're out the whole month of January. That's all I ever wanted. You know, 13 years of public school, I wanted that every year, never got it.
Me either.
And then it happens last year.
Me either.
Beautiful.
I had years where we didn't have any. Any days off.
Right. Wow. That's exactly. Yeah,
it was great getting out early in May, but.
Yeah, when I was in school, we didn't really get a lot of snow like in the 80s and through the 90s. We didn't really get a lot of snow in the winter times. You know, you get the dusting, but getting dumped on like we've gotten the last couple winters.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
Yeah.
I had to go to school. Look what happened to me. Now look at me.
You're just a walking PSA.
We need a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Well, before we get ready for baseball and softball and all the other spring stuff, March Madness has to wrap up first.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful Elite Eight. I mean, probably one of the strongest Elite Eights that there's been in a number of years.
Isn't it funny when the NCAA tournament gets ready to start, you go through Selection Sunday and you see all these teams that get awarded a slot, whether they win the conference tournament or won the conference or, played well enough to get in. But when it comes down to it, you want to see the big dogs battle it out when they get deep into the tournament.
And that's the thing about the tournament. It's really a two-phase tournament. You want the upsets on the first two days, and then you want the big dogs in the final four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Northeastern beating Notre Dame almost would have been really cool, but nobody and their brother wants to see Northeastern playing Kentucky for a right to go to the final four, You don't want that. You want the big dogs when it gets down to it. And a couple of big games today. You got Wisconsin-Arizona. That's a rematch of an Elite Eight game last year that went overtime, won by Bo Ryan and the Badgers. And then you got Kentucky taking on Notre Dame. And Kentucky, my goodness.
They destroyed West Virginia.
I mean, that's one of the
– You mouth off.
Woo!
As if they needed any other motivation.
Right. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Perhaps it was summed up best by one of the Kentucky players. I think it was Devin Booker tweeted out 36 and WON. 36 and 1. There you go. Boom.
That's
boom.
Great.
Because that game was really over when they threw the ball up. It was 18-2 by about the first media timeout. About as dominating as you can see it.
And, I think I was reading somewhere where Kentucky probably would have let up any other time, but because the kid from West Virginia said what he said, there was no mercy.
They made their point.
Yeah.
And good for, hey, why not?
Yeah.
It was during the headlines.
That's
exactly what it was.
I mean, you can, that's one of those, you can't simulate that in practice. No. No, you don't have the NBA, what was it? Only one NBA team has more size, has a taller average height than Kentucky. They're taller than all but one NBA team. So, I mean, as a college team, what do you do?
Yeah. It's hard to judge height on TV.
Especially when they're all 7 foot.
Yeah, but they look absolutely huge on the big screen.
Those Harrison twins are 6'5".
Yeah, they're huge.
Oh, they're 6'6". I mean, just an inch.
There you go. Yeah. There you go, even taller.
Yeah. Your starting point guard is, I think it's Andrew Harrison. He's 6'6". Shooting guard Aaron is 6'6". Both returning from last year. Oh, by the way, you got Willie Cauley-Stein, a junior, returning from last year's team. He's 7 foot. Plus, you got all the recruits that came in. Dakari Johnson also returned from last year. Plus, add on to the recruits that came in this year. They're just like, they're 8 or 9, maybe even 10 deep.
They're 10 deep. Well, before Poitras got hurt, they had two starting fives. They were the first best team in the country and the second best team in the country.
Yeah, they're a hockey team. And they got two lines.
Yeah, two NBA lines.
Yeah. I mean,
they're that good. And that's what I like about Kentucky this year. And, you know, they kind of always get labeled under Calipari. Well, one and done, they're all freshmen. Not this year. Duke's the one and done team this year. Yeah. They're the ones starting three top elite first round freshmen. Kentucky starts two sophomores, a junior, as you said, another sophomore in the rotation, sprinkling in with freshmen. I mean, they are powerful and far from a freshman laden team. Their three best players are sophomores and juniors.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, it's.
They dismantle.
Goodness.
I mean, they don't beat them. They dismantle teams.
Yes. And they're not just returning guys. It's guys that were runners up last year.
That's right. I mean,
an 8 seed last year that ended up going to the national championship game and losing to a very good Connecticut.
They were preseason number one last year.
Right.
And wound up getting a terrible
season.
Didn't
have a great regular season last year and ended up as an 8 seed and put it together in the tournament.
That's exactly right. Showed it. Played for the title last year. And they're certainly going to be playing for the title this year, barring some sort of crazy sport thing happening.
Going all the way back to last year, motivation.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, and they've had close games this year, but they've been seemingly flawless in the last 5 minutes of games.
But they still have a goose egg in the loss column.
That's right.
Yeah. When you play how many 30, close games you play, they still haven't lost a game.
When you play 37, some of them are going to be close.
Yeah.
Also, I remember we sat here at the beginning of the year, and that's what's really impressive, because this was the talk at the start of the year from everybody who follows college basketball. Will they go undefeated? It's not like they went under the radar and like, oh, well, they're 25-0. From the start of the year, that was the talk. Basically, if they didn't go undefeated, it was a lost year, whether they won the title or not. So you factor that in this day and age, that is so impressive to do what they've done. And I remember saying, well, they'll probably lose a conference road game late if they're going to lose a game. Well, their last conference road game, I mean, they were in trouble. They were down, I don't know, 9 points, 5 or 6 minutes to go. They wound up winning by double digits.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've been flawless in the last 5 minutes.
If they play
the switch gets turned on.
If they play good, they will not lose.
Yeah.
You know, it'll
They have to have an absolute disaster for them to lose.
And the other team will have to play really well.
Yeah.
And John Calipari's he's had some fantastic teams, and he won't admit to it, but this has got to be his favorite team that he's ever had.
Certainly
obviously going undefeated, but just having the guys, like, having the talent coming in as freshmen as well as the guys he's had return. I mean, just fantastic.
Best team he's ever had, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, just the talent top to bottom.
I mean, I don't – maybe you would know better than I do, Tim. I don't know if guys will declare for the draft. I mean, some kids from Kentucky will, but it seems like the Harrison twins, I think they may come back another
year. They're all not going to leave, probably.
Yeah. Cauley-Stein may come back for a senior.
It's all trends, you know.
Yeah.
It's one guy – all it takes is one guy to stay sometimes. It's like, maybe 2 years isn't to me, 2 years, some guys are ready physically after their freshman year. Like, you look at Duke, like Justice Winslow. That dude's ready physically to play in the NBA.
Yep.
You look at a guy like Tyus Jones, you know, he's probably one of those guys who considers himself a one-and-done player. He doesn't look physically ready for the NBA. You know, that point guard Syracuse had last year,
Tyler Ennis, the year before. Yeah.
He left after his freshman year. He wasn't physically ready for the NBA.
I think with the Kentucky kids, the thing that you have to ask them is the legacy issue.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of legacy do you want to leave on this Kentucky program? You know, is it possible to go undefeated 1 year, have everybody back, and maybe
think about doing
it again? I mean, what are the odds against it? The odds are astronomical, obviously. But
if you If you talk
if
about
it's
the
legacy you're talking about, that could keep kids.
Yeah, they don't play a senior.
Yeah, they, yeah.
If you talk about the Harrison twins, I mean, they could be in a situation where they could stay all 4 years and they could win three national titles and maybe even go undefeated one or two of those seasons.
Well, if they what you're talking about, Terry, they do that, then you're getting into that UCLA 88 consecutive win territory, and then you're all-time historic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
It could happen.
Then when people mention UCLA, they also mention Kentucky anyway most of the time. But, you know, that would certainly put a mark, you know, put your stamp in the book.
Well, you know, that's one of those things probably like with the Joe DiMaggio hitting streak at 56. You just say records are made to be broken, but certain ones seem like they will not be. The hitting streak would be one. I never even fathomed contemplating an 88-game winning streak happening again. But you watch Kentucky this year. If they did, for some reason, come back next year, why wouldn't you think they would go undefeated again?
You know, the health issue is always kind of the wild card. But if they stay healthy, who knows?
And with that said, though, it's the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, who thought UNLV was going to lose in 91 when they rolled in undefeated?
That's
true. I mean, funny things happen. And I'm telling you, not just because I picked it in my bracket, look out for Arizona. To me, Arizona's the team that, if you're saying that a team could possibly beat
Most
Kentucky,
of the prognosticators are agreeing that if there's one team that could knock them off, it's probably Arizona.
It's Arizona, you know, but that's the deal where they have to play really great. Kentucky has to play a subpar game, but they've got the type of athletes and the style of play, I think. Because when you play Kentucky now, you basically have to accept the fact you're going to get it thrown back in your face about five or six times.
Mm-hmm. Starting tonight
in the first half.
Tonight is when it gets hairy for Kentucky. I mean, tonight is when you face – I mean, obviously West Virginia, sure, admirable opponent. Cincinnati, admirable opponent. But tonight, I mean, because Notre Dame on a good shooting night could get you.
On a good shooting night.
Second half of Wichita State, they didn't miss a shot, it seemed like.
They didn't.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the choking dog factor for the Irish to show up, though. It could very well show up tonight.
I have, too. But if they shoot like they did in the second half against Wichita State, they could beat them.
Sure. They didn't miss a shot. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
I'm just saying.
That could happen. You know what also could happen? They could not shoot like that and get blown out worse than West Virginia did.
That's also true.
It could go either way.
It could go either way.
That's why we watch them.
Yeah. Put it this way. If you want to watch a competitive game, the Wisconsin-Arizona one's probably the one to lean towards today. Because Kentucky, they dominating.
Yeah.
Then on the other side of the bracket, Tom Izzo back in the Elite Eight. A shock to
no one. Don't you just love watching that team?
You got to love.
They just
gotta
grind
the
Sparty. Should
have picked them. The reason I didn't pick them this year was because they're such a bad free throw shooting team. Doesn't matter, apparently.
Well, they've had the right guys at the line
the last couple
of nights.
Yeah, they've put the ball in the hands of the right people. Yeah.
That's right. They'll take on Louisville. They've made another run under. I think I saw Patino in his last 20 years of college coaching has now been in the Elite Eight 11 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Every year. And it's every year as a four seed, too. They like that four seed.
Well, they kind of like to have a little chip on their shoulder.
They play well with a chip on their shoulder. And I tell you what.
I think that's how Patino coaches them.
And actually, let me take back what I said. Forget about Arizona. Louisville's a team Kentucky does not want to see. Right. Can you imagine drama? Oof. Kentucky sitting at 39-0 and Louisville standing there in the title game? Holy buckets. Holy buckets. They do not want to play Louisville.
Well,
you talk about not being afraid. Louisville, they don't care about Kentucky.
You could go in and rob the whole state.
Oh, my goodness. That's exactly
right. You could make off with the whole state.
Oh.
I think their game was close this season.
It was.
Each other.
It
so,
was.
Yeah.
That would be something.
Of course, they're down
a
player. That
gets would
suspended.
Be Hollywood storybook kind of stuff there.
Yeah, that's where they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
If you sent it to them,
this
can't happen.
But
it did.
Down
it did.
The line, somebody's thinking about this. Maybe it could happen.
So. Interesting. And then on the bottom half of the other side, Duke and Gonzaga, the Zags in the Elite Eight for the first time since 99. The first time Mark Few, remember, he wasn't the coach in 99. He wasn't there yet, so this is his first trip to the Elite Eight. That's good to see. Love the Zags.
They've looked fantastic. I didn't expect them to make a run to the Elite Eight, but they've looked a lot better than I thought they were going to be.
If they weren't playing Duke, I'd be rooting for them like crazy.
Yeah. That'll be a fun game.
Oh, it should
watch.
Be a great game.
You know, up and down.
Did you catch any of the Gonzaga UCLA game last night?
Yeah, I mean
that big kid. I don't remember his name. The post player just making all sorts of like no look passes, just because he was getting doubled each time in the post, and you know. Two guys come over, so he just bounced past behind
but
his back.
But they've seen that now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sure. We're going to work on that.
The thing for Gonzaga, though, they'll be able to play, despite a trip to the Final Fours in the line, since they're playing Duke, they'll be able to play free and easy.
Yeah.
Because if they lose, well, you're supposed to lose. You were playing Duke. So they'll be able right. to go out there with – because that's where Gonzaga's kind of gotten in trouble, the tournament the last few years, when they had expectations put on them.
Yep.
You know, a one seed last year, we know what happened. This year, though, they've as a two seed, they've really been flying under the radar. You haven't heard many people talking about the Zags.
But that – and you know, and that point exactly, Tim, is why Kentucky's impressive with yeah. all the pressure and all the expectations.
Yeah. When everybody knows you're supposed to do it and then you go out and do it,
yeah.
boy, that does make it even a little bit more impressive than it already is. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. Back with more in a moment.
By the way, Big Al Pogonpole, along with Chad Waterman and Torrey Points from Auburn, all got to referee in the state basketball tournament championship game.
They did a great job.
They did a great job. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right. You never really think about that, but you know the officials throughout the season, too, you know, they're being graded. They're being watched, and based on their performance, it depends on how far they will go in the postseason.
I was telling you guys off the air earlier today, I was watching part of the old D2, the Division II semifinals, and I think it was Bellarmine and South Florida, and they had a discrepancy on whether or not one of the players had five fouls or four fouls. The official scorebook had him down for five fouls, but he was the only scorebook that had him down for five. All the other scorebooks had him for four. The guy that keeps the running play-by-play had him for four. The coaching staff from the opposing team actually came to the scorebook keeper and said, "Hey, we've only got him for four. Let him play." So after about a 15-minute delay,
oh boy,
you know, they figured it out, and he got back into the game later. So, yeah, crazy.
Now the question is, how do you get in that much of foul trouble that early in the second half?
You know, in keeping a scorebook and everything is – you know, when you've got so many different things going on, that's why you have to depend on everybody that's at the bench to double-check each other. So.
There's a lot that goes on at those scores. Controlled chaos.
Yeah, it's controlled chaos.
I guess at that point in the game, it didn't matter. He's sitting on the bench at that time anyway. So. Playing with four fouls that early in the second half, he's not playing for a while in the second half.
We'll be seeing him for a while.
Yeah.
yeah. So, anyway.
Predictions for the Final Four, gentlemen?
Kentucky, obviously.
I don't care. I just like watching these games. They're great to watch.
Oh, they're great to watch. They're great to watch.
I'll say Kentucky, Duke, and boy, the other two are toss. I mean, really, Duke Gonzaga is kind of a toss up too.
It could be. Yeah.
I like Duke more than Gonzaga.
You don't think Kentucky Notre Dame's a toss up?
No.
Oh.
I said Notre Dame can beat them if they shoot well, if they shoot like they did in the second half against Wichita State. But that was just, I mean. That was just an if scenario.
Yeah,
that was just unheard of shooting.
I would be shocked if anybody beat Kentucky. Yeah. I'll just be honest with you. And I like watching Tom Izzo's teams play. I love watching Michigan State play and grind it out this time of year. So, but these, you know, they're great teams in the Elite Eight. So
the question is, a non-Lute Olson coached Arizona team going to finally get to the Final Four?
I think they will. I think they'll avenge their loss from a year ago against Wisconsin, 1 point in overtime. Yeah. By the way,
they gotta keep Sam Decker in check. I mean, everybody talks about Frank Kaminsky, but boy, that Decker kid,
explosive.
Yes. Oh yeah, the game against UNC, he was doing the same move every time, and they still couldn't stop him.
Well, he was so quick. Yeah. That first step is just so quick. He's by his defender.
Yeah,
I'd love watching Wisconsin play. You know, love Bo Ryan.
Grinding, that's right. Yeah. That's Big Ten basketball. He's grinding.
The only unfortunate thing is they're so good now. Bo Ryan doesn't get agitated anymore, so he doesn't look like the Badger.
Well, we'll see today.
They're too good.
We'll see today because they could get down against Arizona, and we'll see.
That's true. The Badger will come out. Could make an appearance today with a trip to the Final Four on the line. That's right.
That's what Uncle Ralph always claimed. He was the perfect coach for the Badgers because he looked like a Badger.
Looks like the Badger. He gets that scowl. I don't want to make him upset.
I'm going to say Kentucky, Duke, Arizona, Louisville, the Final Four. I think I like Izzo. I hope Michigan State gets to another Final Four, but I can't bet against. Oh, I can't bet against either guy really. But I'd say Patino is going to make it.
I don't disagree with you at all. But since I picked Michigan State in my original bracket, I can't jump off the ship now. So I'll go with State to get there. But
that side of my Final Four is screwed up.
But Louisville's playing. You know, you look at Duke and Louisville, both dismissed a key player from their teams late in the year. Mm-hmm. And really, both teams have been better for it.
Yeah. Addition by subtraction.
There you go. Big time.
It happens.
Something maybe the Illini should have considered.
That's interesting. But hey.
They did dismiss one kid, but it might have been the wrong kid.
They were a different club.
Well, they
were a better team-oriented club when Ravonte Rice was not playing, I think.
There's questions now about certain guys coming back, not leaving for the draft, but like transferring.
There's going to be some shakeup because the season did not. It ended in embarrassing fashion for Illinois. You know, you lose to end the year, that's fine, but they basically got blown out, embarrassed, and didn't try the last three games of the year. Essentially, is what it looked like.
There was not much of a spark.
They didn't appear to be. You know, when you know that you need to win a couple of games at the end of the year to get into the tournament, and you don't show up,
that's a problem. The Purdue game started out so well; they were up like 15 or 16-2, and then again they were up like 26-13, up by 13, and from there Purdue outscored them like 35-12, and. While Purdue almost choked it up at the end.
It's a game of adjustments.
It really is.
The good coaches always come out in that second half and make the adjustments.
I still believe in
halftime leads, not safe.
I still believe in Gross. I just, you know, I just hope that some of the kids don't transfer hastily.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, to me it's not necessarily a Gross issue. I mean, it takes time. You know, coaches don't generally take over programs that are in good shape.
Yeah.
You know, if they were in good shape, the previous guy wouldn't have gotten fired.
The analogy with the big ship taking a long, slow turn.
Yeah. Right? It's like, to me, you start to judge Gross from this year moving forward because this will be the first year.
All him.
All the Weber's guys are gone.
Except Tracy Abrams.
But every guy in the program is somebody who he brought in. So you judge him from here on.
Which having Abrams back next year is going to be huge because he's a guy who can be your senior leader, and he's in the leadership role with the point guard running that offense.
Illinois got a long way to go to be playing basketball on this weekend anytime soon.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. A little bit of a gap. Cardinal baseball on the radio.
We'll call that the Grand Canyon, Tim.
Might as well be. It's a big chasm. Cardinals playing the Tigers today, live 11:45 over on AM 1540, opening day a week from tomorrow. Sports Saturday is done. For T-Tote, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.